So I am joined today. I'm so thrilled to be joined today by Tatiana from Lila Born Crochet. I'm so happy to have you here again. We
Yay!
connected last year, and you're such a thrill to talk to. Welcome.
Hi, I'm really excited to be here. I've been to Yarndale 2 times already, and it's my 3rd time, so I'm really happy to be here and to be invited.
I'm so happy to have you here. Really, I had such a great time last year chatting with you. Now, I'm going to actually kind of move on from last year in terms of just to connect with that, because of course, last year for you was a phenomenally, I don't want to say successful because I know that this year is no less successful for you, but last year, of course, you were kind of thrust into the crochet kind of spotlight, and you were the face of last year's Shape Years Cal. What a journey that's been. Can you tell me a little bit about that journey? And because I know it was a long process coming up to the release, and then the year after. How's that been for you?
So I've been working on Rosetta for 2 years. So from the first time the idea came to my mind, and then I pitched this idea to Skip Years for the Cal, and they said it was a nice idea. So from this first point of the idea came to my mind until it was released, it took 2 years of work. Of the designing, testing, changing, adjusting, remaking, making, remaking again, and testing again. And then after it was released, so it was really a lot of work for me, and it took a lot of energy and time. And after it was released, it was a huge explosion in my life in many ways. At first, a lot of new people heard about me and about my work, and then I was invited to Yarndale at the Sheep Years stand with black sheep wools, and I met like hundreds of people were coming and hugging me and chatting and talking. And then we also brought all Rosettas to Utrecht for the yarn show here, and I spent the whole week there from early morning till the evening, like chatting to people. I mean, so it was like a huge thing in my life. It was really, really great, but at the same time, it took a lot of energy. So after the Rosetta, after the Cal was over, it took me like 3 months of total silence. I could not really touch my yarn hook for so long time because it was a kind of exhausting, but it was like a nice exhaustion.
Yeah.
We call it like but after 3 months I slowly started to come back to this mood of designing again. So it was really, really a huge experience in my life.
Wow, I bet a massive kind of burst of creative energy during that process, and then suddenly that giving energy, the physical meeting people and that connection, I imagine that was a huge thing. What's it
I
like?
mean,
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I mean, it was really, really hard to let it go, you know? It's
Yes.
like your baby. You are growing it and like feeding it, and like you take care of this baby, and then in one day it's just out and it's not yours anymore. Like it's like everyone's else, but not yours. And it was like that's it was really hard to part, but now I'm fine, yeah.
Yeah. So like a year on from that, of course, now you're at a place where you can look back and see so many people have made the project.
It's
What is that like?
incredible. It's incredible. So a lot of different combination of colors, a lot of different sizes and yarn weights, like a lot of presenters. I'm really happy. I still see them every day in my feeds. Like every day I see a series of this. It's just incredible.
Wow. And is it does that kind of inspire you to keep on doing it when you see the people creating your work? Is that a source of
To keep
inspiration?
doing Rosetta or?
Well, just in general, designing, when you see people have made your work, does that inspire you to keep creating?
Yes, of course. I have never really thought of being a designer. It just came to my life unexpectedly. And every year I tell to myself that maybe it will be the last year, because I don't know if you can really design year after year and year after year. I have been doing it for 6.5, I think, years already. And every time I say to myself, okay, maybe it's the last one. But then new ideas start coming to my head, and I see a lot of different blankets made with my patterns and the garments, and I think, oh, maybe I should do something else. Maybe I should it's an exchange of energy with people, and it's really inspires and keeps you going on.
I love that. I just have to say on that note, you mentioned the whole design thing, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this with everyone. So last year, of course, was the first time that I kind of sat down and interviewed you. And I remember it very clearly at Yarndale, you were like, you know, I don't really consider myself a designer. And then today you used when we were talking before, you were like, me being a designer. And it blows my mind because we spoke yesterday with Martin from Martin Up North, and he was just like fangirling over you. And I guess what I'm saying is you were such a great designer. It blows my mind.
Yeah, I know. But a designer is someone who has the background in this like studies, knowledge. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have this theory thing, so I can't really say I'm. A designer. I would call myself an explorer, a crafter, a maker maybe, but not I studied journalism, so I worked in the newspaper and I was an editor in the magazine, so I was a journalist, yes, but I have never been a designer. I still don't think that I am. It's like my hobby still. It's my daily job now, but still it's my hobby, so I'm just doing what I really enjoy doing, that's somehow goes out there, but I don't really think that I'm
sure. To us you are, but I'll let you have it. can I take you way back, like I know we're jumping around a bit, but can I take you way back to how it all started? Like how did you start crocheting? When did you start crocheting?
I've been doing it for my entire life. I learned it both knitting and crochet when I was 5 or 6. Wow. So I was a small girl, and it was and at primary school we had that teacher with red hair, like really really tough and hard and strict, but in some breaks she always had these needles and she was knitting, and I was really interested in that, so I asked her to teach me and she taught me. I don't really have a lot of memories from my early childhood, but I clearly remember that like a picture, you know, at the playground when everyone was like running, like kids, you know, 5, 6 years, they were like running around, jumping, shouting and playing. And I was just in my corner with my needles trying to master the garter stitch and not to lose the stitches and just count. So I've been doing it like for all my life, and I have always been designing something for myself, like sweaters with different colors, like unmatchable, like reds and I don't know, yellows and everything. So I always had these strange sweaters and cardigans. So I've been doing it for my entire life. But my daily job was journalism. But at the same time, I started opera singing for 12 years. And at some point, it was in the past. So at some point I thought that maybe I should quit journalism and maybe I should start to spend more time in opera singing. So I decided to move because I'm originally from Belarus, but I decided to move to the Czech Republic to study there. So we moved here with my husband. But the singing didn't really work, so I didn't have a job for some 5 years here. Then my kid was born, and at that time I came to the point with no job, with no income, with not really nothing to do in my life. So I started to look for the ways how to express myself. I became like a little bit sad. So I decided to open an Etsy shop and start try to sell the handmade items. Like I made some blankets and mandalas and everything. And at that point, I found a pattern online, and I didn't really know that knitting and crochet is a huge thing in the world. I didn't really know that a lot of people all over the world do the craft nowadays. Yeah. I thought it's like for older people or for, I don't know. But at that point, I realized that it's a huge, huge, huge thing in the world. So I decided to start curating the patterns on my own. So I learned the abbreviations, English abbreviations. I tried to write my pattern for a small mandala. I put it on Ravelry for test, and this is how it all started. So I made another mandala, and then I made something else, and something else, and something else, and then I started to blog, and then I met Cheapies, and so now it's like this. So now it's my hobby, still I call it, but it's a daily job at the same time. So
yeah, wow. I mean, what a journey. What a journey. So creative in so many ways, though, as well. I didn't know that about you, about the opera singing.
I did sing, yeah, every day. But not anymore.
I was going to ask you if you could sing some. No, I won't be on the spot there. Oh, amazing. So with the designing, though, did that come quite naturally to you? Like the actual creating your own thing? Did you start by making other people's projects, I guess is the question?
Well, I bought this pattern for the mandala, and I started to make it over and over and over again. I think I made some 10 or more, maybe. And then I just studied on my own. But my first pieces, they copied a lot the work of others, because when you start, you can't really, if you are super talented or if you're a genius, of course you can do on your own your very special thing on first. But I was not so talented, so my first pieces were just the copies of the works of others. So I took like small elements from all the different people and played with them to learn how the stitches work, the theory of crochet, how to make the flat round, why it ruffles, how you can change it and anything. But then after I felt more confident, and after I realized I can actually do something on my own, like really special and not just a replica of others' work, I started to do the patterns on my own. So it took a while. I think it took a half a year or even more. And then I started to feel more confident to put the patterns online and to show them to the people.
That's fantastic. And the rest is history, as they say. Amazing. We've got a couple of questions that have already come in. And I'm going to kind of throw them at you, if that's okay, because we're talking about designing. And the questions are very much relevant to that. So Geordie's asked, is your approach to designing garments different from, for example, making blankets? How do you tackle a new project you're working on? So is there a big difference with garment and blanket?
Of course, it's a huge difference, yes, because garments are all about the shaping. And my garments come from knitting. Before I started to make the garments with Asya sweater, it was my first one, I bought a lot of different knitting patterns, like a lot of different, the round yoked, because I had no idea how to shape the yoke, how it should be growing, where to make increases, how to do the sizings. So I made a lot of different garments with knitting first, and then I started to implement the same rules to crochet. So blanket, it's just a flat thing. You either work in the rows or in squares, in the rounds, and garments is something else. It's just shaping from, I always do my garments from top to down. So you always start at the neckline and you grow the yoke, you make increases until you reach the armholes, then you divide for sleeves and the, yeah. So the hardest part is to grow the yoke, and then you make these short rows on the back so that the back is a little bit higher. So it's a kind of science. And at first, I really had to understand how it's done. And then with knitting, it's really easy because the knitting does not twist in the rounds and crochet does this. So I had to find the ways how to prevent that, how to implement the different patterns to the yoke. So it's just two different worlds, the blankets and the garments, I would say, in a way.
Okay, wow. I have no idea. Like I've told you before, I have yet to tackle something that I can wear because of fear. How is it working on something like that? Do I need to be scared of trying out?
My garments, I really am trying to make them as easy to understand as. I don't think it's very tricky or difficult, especially if you work the top-down garment. Mm. Because if you start from top, you can try the yoke on at any point and see if it's too big or if it's too small, and you can really adjust it as you go. So, and then with the sleeves, you can make as long sleeves as you want, or you can make them shorter. So it's not. I understand it's scary, but I can assure you, it's not as intricate as it looks. Actually,
you know what? I'll make a bet then. This time next year, when I interview again at Yarndale in real life, I'm going to be wearing one of your jumpers.
Yes, yeah, it's good for both men and women.
I'm going to be wearing one. Love it. Let's jump to another question. That was a great question. How do you choose someone to test your patterns? Do you have a group of pattern testers?
Yeah, I'm really happy you asked. I'm really lucky in a way to have in my life like really nice and friendly people. Yes, we have a group of people who help me to test. It's been gathering for a few months and years now, so we became friends already. I'm always open to new people who would like to help to test. So we have a group on Facebook where we run all the tests.
Okay, fantastic. So do you tend to use the do you have like favorite people that test your pad? I'm sure you come up with favorites, huh? Someone you like?
No, I don't. No, I don't. We have. I don't know how many people we have now. Maybe 12 or 13. So I just throw their new instructions there, and if they would like to help, and if they have time, they just come and help.
Oh, fantastic! Fantastic. So you've got like a whole team of people kind of supporting them.
Yeah, a lot of people, yeah.
Wow.
I'm really happy to have them. And they are always like really excited over the new patterns, and they really post the pictures online and boost it, and like really are happy about the new patterns. And I'm happy as well.
Brilliant. I love that. Let me just look at the other questions. Some of them I am going to save till the end. Do you know what? Let me ask you a few personal questions because I've written them down, and we'll come to the other questions at the end, but I'm going to leave a lot of time for questions. So those of you watching, pop your questions on the list and I will come to them. So I know last year it was very much focused around the Rosetta crochet along, but since then, I know from you telling me you've been dabbling a lot with brioche crochet. And I know, I can see just saying that your face goes like it, clearly very exciting. So would you mind just to talk a little bit about that? Because I'm someone personally, as you know, crochets, but I kind of stick to my regular bog standard techniques. And you're someone that really explores different techniques. So now you're on brioche crochet. Tell us about it.
I am really excited, and I think it's a really, really, really nice. I would not say it's a special method. I'm not really fond of inventing new ways of crochet out of nowhere and to invent some abbreviations and I don't know methods and everything. It's just the imitation of knitting the reosher, but we do it with the round posts and chains, and no other really stitches are used here. In the back, you can see my blanket, which was released in May. I think it is became like really popular because I think that we don't have a lot of examples in this kind of crochet at the moment. So it was really like an explosion in a way in a crochet world. If you have a closer look, it's just a mix of round posts and chains. So it's like a mesh. You can see holes here, and you make the just increases and decreases, and it helps you to build this pattern, this intricate pattern in the look, but not intricate in the making it. Okay. I would really like to say it's not intricate in making. And last Friday, like this Friday, I released a new brioche pattern, which I wanted to make a perfect match for this blanket. I released the Helios pillow mandala or pillow. So if you have a look at this border, you can see that it's repeating the pattern on the blanket here. So I thought it would be a nice match for the blanket. So it has a mandala in the center, and then I designed two borders. That was the first one. I decided to make the match, and then on the train back, I've been to Sweden 2 weeks ago, and on the way back on the train, I decided I have to try another border. So on the train back, I designed another border for this.
Look,
and I wrote the pattern on the train and came back and asked if my nice ladies would like to help and check the instructions, and they were like really, oh yes, we would love to. So that's a new pattern that has been released on Friday. It's brioche.
Absolutely.
I'm really a huge fan of brioche, you know.
Absolutely. I've just popped the link in the chat for everyone that's
thank you. Yeah,
that's an interesting blog post.
Yeah, I'm really excited about brioche, as you can see, and I would like to show you something else. 4 days ago, I finished my new sweater. I haven't shown it anywhere yet.
Is it a world exclusive?
It's a top secret, yes. But secret. I thought I should share it because I'm really so passionate about like brioche. So that's the sweater. It's a backside. It's a backside, but it's really amazing about this way of crochet that both back and right side and wrong side, they look amazing. So it's the wrong side, and I will show you the right side now. I will just turn it inside out, and I'm really, really excited about it. I made it in 4 days because I could not stop doing it. I was doing it until 4 in the morning. So I was just like running. And
wow.
It has a color, but I think it will come with color and without it for those who don't like the high color. So it's
absolutely gorgeous.
It's brioche as well.
So the color kind of that's going on there, that's specific to the yarn, of course, right?
Yeah. About the yarn, I used two different yarns for this one, and it's my absolutely absolutely favorite combinations of the yarns at the moment. They are both from Shipyes. That's Metropolis. I think it's quite known yarn. It was released last year, I think. It's Merino Extra Fine. Like it has three colors. Each color has different shades in it, so it's a slightly bit heathered one. And then I took it with the combination of Spirit. It's cotton acrylic blend, and you can see that it's not solid. It's like it has these hints of white or cream. So yeah. I took these two yarns, and they look amazing when they are done.
They really do.
So that's my new passion, the brioche crochet.
I love that. So when will the pattern be out for the this?
I still need to write it down and test, and I hope that maybe in December it will be out, hopefully, because it takes time to check all the instructions so no errors are there. Otherwise, it would be really sad. So I will take my time to write the pattern and
Love that. So I'm just mindful of the chat. The people are chit-chatting behind, and I'm reading the comments, and I love it. So someone's actually just written, "I never crochet clothes, but this is really tempting me." And then someone else has wrote, "Me neither, but the fear is real." Do people need to be fearful of making garments? Is it as hard as it looks?
I'm really trying to promote this idea that the garments are not as bad as you might think. And in August, I ran the cowl on my blog. It's a free cowl. I made a jacket, and I posted all instructions for free on my blog. So I explained every tiny bit of making a garment. So if you come to my blog and if you search for fade to light jacket, you will see three instructions. And I explain, it's a raglan shaped jacket. And I explain everything. I explain the short rows with videos as well, with pictures and instructions. So it explains the short rows, how to build raglan increases, how to add the sleeves, how to adjust the yoke, the length, and everything, how to add the bands. So everything, every small bit is explained there. So if you're not comfortable with making the garments, you can just start with this free one, and you can see all the videos there, and you can just take the yarn from your stash. You don't really have to buy some really expensive or anything yarn. You could just start with some cheap yarn to try hand on, and then after you will really see it's not as hard as it may seem. And this brioche one, it looks like really intricate, but the instructions are I don't know. I'm really a fan of garments, and I want more people to overcome this fear and to make more garments for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, we also said this last year, those of you that saw the talk last year, and without generalizing or offending anyone, I think crochet is kind of notorious for very, very chunky stitches. So, of course, the things like the classic granny square and things like that. So back in the 70s, to wear granny squares and stuff like that, and also a bit now, was very popular. And I think what you've done, Tatiana, is created this way of incorporating crochet, but with something that's slightly more delicate without it turning into, you know, lace would be very delicate, of course. And it's not that at all, but you've really created this this balance between regular clothes and something that's crochet. It's amazing. It's really
amazing. Yes, but it's also about the yarn, because if you choose the DK yarn, acrylic, like really hard and scratchy yarn for a garment, it will feel scratchy and chunky. But if you take the yarn like this or whirl, I have it on myself, you can see that it's really like draping. It's not chunkier. It's also about the hook size and the yarn as well. It's it should be balanced with the stitches, of course, but also yarn and the hook size.
Okay, I mean, great advice there. Yeah, it's just mind blowing. It's phenomenal, really. So I'm going to jump into some questions, because we've got about just over 10 minutes left. So pop your questions in, ladies and gents. I'm just going to go back quickly through the chat and just pick out the ones that I didn't mention. Okay, Michelle asks, how has teaming up with Shapiers changed your way of coming up with designs? What else does it say? How long does it take you to feel ready to put things forward? I hope I'm understanding that. So how is working with Shapiers changed?
We are huge friends. I think I'm safe to say that, and I hope it's mutual. I really like this company, the attitude, and all people are really, really nice and friendly, and they're really very much about eco thing. And so we have been working for 5 years now. Wow. It's like a lot of time. I was approached by the creative director 5 years ago, and we started to work together. So it's just a mutual thing. And I'm really happy with that. I cannot say that it's influenced the way I come up with new ideas, but I can say that the help from Scipias, they really, how do you say that? Like, it's like an open door to another world, and it gives more opportunities. And of course, it inspires to move. I must say that I grew professionally with them in blogging, taking pictures, writing the patterns, because they make the teaching for us how to do the pattern writing, how to take the pictures and everything. So it's really a huge thing. Yes.
Fantastic. Another question, just to explain, I think you may have mentioned it, and I'll pop a link here. What is the name of the pattern that you're wearing? This one? Yeah.
It's Huldra. Huldra sweater.
I'll find a link for that in a moment. And there's the other one. Remind me the other one. Is that Ezra? No.
The first. It's also brioche, actually.
Okay.
My first one.
Super. I'll try and find links for those, ladies and gents, and pop that down so you can.
I must show you the fade of this.
Look at that.
It's whirl yarn. It goes from one shade to another, so it's also a part of the design.
Wow, absolutely beautiful. Really, absolutely stunning. Let's jump to another question. So the Rosetta blanket. How did you start? Did you know immediately what it was gonna look like?
No, it was a journey. I was inspired by the black and white picture of the cathedral window. I think it was in France, Amiens. I found it on the internet, the picture, and I thought that this Rosetta mandala, it would look like really great in crochet. And I knew from the start I would like to use that S3. So I started with the mandala, and then it was like a very long and slow process of doing the rest. It took me a lot of time to find out how to make the corners, and then I wanted to make it a square only, but Scipias asked me to add the lower panel to make it to change it a little bit. So it was a really long process of making and remaking and adjusting. It was not like this, no.
Is that a process you enjoy when it's, because of course you've got an idea and Scipias have an idea of?
I love challenges. Okay. I really love them. I stay up late to 5 in the morning, but I will do that, you know.
Yeah.
If it does not come out the way I thought it would be, I will be remaking it and remaking like hundreds of times, but I will do that work. So I'm really stubborn in that, and I really love the challenge. Yes.
Fantastic. Well, that's good. You love it, because we also love seeing all your projects at the end of it. It's just great. Let's have a look. Sorry, I'm like not very good at multitasking. I'm trying to put links. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to. Please forgive me. So another great question here. How do you deal with online response to your work, both good and bad, especially since a design is almost like a child you bring into the world? So how do you handle that? Because of course some people like it, it's kind of down to individual opinion, isn't it? So some people are going to love your work, some people maybe not so much. How do you handle that?
For some reason, I don't really get a lot of negative response. I'm really... happy about that, but as you say, it's really individual, and if people don't like it, then it's okay.
Yeah. Do you find yourself on social media, like looking at the comments and stuff? Do you like to connect with the comments that people write, and or do you just leave it be?
No. I'm always trying to interact with people, and I'm trying to reply to every email I get, and every like to every response I have. So I'm really trying to be out there to talk to people and to be present and to help with the designs and to help with the garments if they're stuck with something. So I'm really trying to be there all the time.
Fantastic. I love that. That's dedication. Another question. Great question here. How many hours a day do you crochet?
Okay. my day is divided into two parts. In the morning and in the afternoon, I'm trying to write the patterns down, to take the pictures for the patterns and everything. And in the evening, when everyone goes to bed, I start to crochet. Sometimes it's only 1 or 2 hours, but normally it's at least 3 or 4 hours. And for example, in case with this brioche thing, I stayed up like for, I don't know, 8 hours in a row. It was like really like racing. So on some days I can do 5 hours or 6 hours, but normally it's like 3 hours, so maybe 4 every day.
Wow. That's why you're so good. Practice, 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 practice. Love it.
There's it's a like second... blind crochet already. Like,
yeah,
I have my TV, you know, so it's not sad or.
Yeah, it's kind of having some learning things, listening to things in the background. There's a second part to that question, which this is a bit that I actually love. How do you think your training in journalism has helped with your blogging, with your photos? Has it helped?
Yes, in writing, yes, because in journalism you really learn how to write, how to make the lead, how to make the body. But my English is not really excellent, so I'm using all the same words all the time, but I mix the order of the words, and now I feel like all my blogs are just the same, but with a different order of the words. So that's a little bit sad. I really think that I have to learn English more to be able to express myself more freely in English, because I can do it in Russian, of course, like because I speak Russian in my normal life, and Russian is my really the first one, so I'm really free in expressing myself, but not in English. So in blogging, I know how to write, how to structure text, but not how to express thoughts, unfortunately.
You do phenomenally well with the language. As you're saying that, I'm like, I don't really speak any languages, and I also use the same English words over and over again. another question coming up. This one's a nice one, actually. Well, they've all been nice. Randy says, I'm curious to know where your love from Sweden comes from. You often talk about Sweden and the fact that you go there quite a lot.
I don't really know. I have a friend there, like really my close friend, and the first time I came there was in 2002.
Yeah,
and that's probably about the sea. Because I'm really loving the sea, but not that warm sea you have in Italy. Like, I love all the seas in general, but I'm really fond of the I can't swim anyway, but and I really like the cold, the wind, and all those muted colors with the pale sun and the low skies, grayish and a little bit of raining. And I really feel myself as myself there. Every time I come there, I'm like, like two weeks ago, I came there as well, because I have to say this. I'm working on my book at the moment, my first ever book.
Ooh.
And 2 weeks ago, I went there to take the pictures. And it was really, really amazing. I wanted this feeling of, like, you know, grayish sky and wind in the hair, and everything. So it's just my place. I feel like I don't know. I feel relaxed there, and I really like be there.
Can I ask you a question now? Everyone's going to be buzzing. A book. Are you allowed to talk about it? I'll ask one question. What can we expect? Garments, blankets.
You can expect a book with garments and shawls and blankets and accessories. There will be 12 or 13 patterns. I have not decided yet. Two of them are existing patents, and the rest are completely brand new patents which have never been seen or shown anywhere. I've done all the patent writing, all the samples, and we made the pictures, and now we have to take edit everything, and hopefully next spring it will be out. We'll see.
And not wait. Cannot wait. I'm sure a lot of you listening will be just as thrilled as I am about that. That'll be definitely going on the list of must buys and on the Christmas list next year for sure. Amazing. How exciting. And then finally, I just want to end by saying a great big thank you to Tatiana joining us today. It's been a thrill talking to you. Ever inspired by your work, and I can't wait for that book next year.
I'm really happy to be here. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, and I can't wait to see you in the flesh this time next year, I hope, at Yarndale.
Hopefully it will be there. I hope, really.
We'll cross everything.
Yes.
Everything. Thank you so much for everyone that's joined us today, and please check out the other chats. There's a couple more chats happening today with Spaces, I believe. Thank you so much, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care, Tatiana. Bye-bye.
Bye.